You are here, doing your best, practicing with concentrated effort. You're giving it your all, but still you struggle. Giving your all, dedicating your life to your practice. These are words that we use often, but they have a different meaning, a different feel for each person. Your own practice, your own dedicated, concentrated effort is unique to you alone in terms of both substance and degree. Dedicate yourself to your practice. I tell you over and over, give it your all. But of course, it only stands to reason that you still have more to do. Not yet. You're still not satisfied with your practice. If you were satisfied that you are giving it your all, that this is as far as you need to go, then such easygoing complacency would never bring death to self-cherishing. Self-cherishing, stacked upon ego idea, stacked upon self-cherishing, ego idea, ego idea, ego, ego, ego. Many years ago when I was practicing, involuntarily my hand has formed a fist and I struck my own head, wanting to smash, to crush my own selfishness. I felt myself to be nothing but ego, nothing but a mass of self-centeredness. This clump of self, the notion that we hold with regard to who we are, is trash. Trash. It does not come to your aid. It will never come to your aid. Rather, it is the obstacle of all obstacles. The false notion of ego, self-cherishing, wrecks for us, destroys for us the reality that there is inherently no obstacle. That all of life is, in its very essence, absolute, pure. There is not so much as a particle, a speck of hindrance anywhere. Self-centeredness prevents our seeing this truth. Because of deluded perception, we fail to see our inherent Buddha nature. You do not know yourself. You are not aware. You are asleep. You must have been exhausted last night, the first night of Sesshin. You had worked hard to get here, finishing up your work in a hurry in order to come to Sesshin, and finally, you're here sitting Sesshin. On that first night, you must have slept soundly. Goo, goo, snoring. But no, you did not snore. Before, when you were here, you kept the people next door up all night with your loud, rousing snore. You could be heard in the corridor. This time we worked on it, setting you up in a room to yourself, next to mine. You didn't snore once all night. I can vouch for it. The next morning, I asked you if you had slept well. Yes, you said, very well. And I said that you hadn't snored. You told me that you had slept on your side so as not to snore. Your heart is in the right place. You were careful not to disturb. You're letting go of self-cherishing. And when there is letting go of self-cherishing, there's clarity. Things just work out. If you didn't care, you would lie and there on your back with a loud bellowing snore all night long, I'm sure. But you determined to pay attention, to be attentive. And not even with one breath did you let out a snore. And here I took care so that you could have your own room and snore all night. But your determination, your determined intention and your practice, carrying out that intention, are priceless. We can be so grateful for intention and practice. Determined intention, the mind which is decided in its intent. This is essential for any effort. If your intent is noble, that is unselfish, the path will open before you and you'll pass right along. Yes, when I was younger, I struck myself with my fist. Your selfishness, nothing but selfishness, through and through. I shouted at myself in anger. But hold on. This clod, this solid mass of selfishness, which I felt myself to be, was not, is not, grounded in fact. In fact, in reality, there is nowhere any solidity. There's no permanent, fixed you. Empty, empty, great emptiness. This emptiness I speak of, who is it? Who does it refer to? Great emptiness refers to what? In the words of one who has profoundly awakened to reality, all beings are Buddha. All beings are Buddha wisdom, Buddha virtue. This great earth, tiny. Our solar system is still pocket size. The Milky Way, still we, the size of a mere pea. So I'm talking about something big, aren't I? But I'm not alone in talking this way. There are scientists thoroughly dedicated to studying the universe, the far reaches of our universe. They're setting the width, the vastness of our universe at some 12,200,000,000 light years. That's up from last year's measurement. That makes our wee dumpling of an earth to be like a small child of the Milky Way. Does our earth even appear significant at all? It might seem pretty insignificant. Certainly not. If this dear planet did not exist, neither would the entire 12,200,000,000 light year vastness of our Milky Way appear. Because all being is Buddha nature, Buddha wisdom, Buddha virtue. The appearance of any one point is dependent upon the whole. Each form appears an absolute interconnection with every other. The all is in the one. This one breath is all existence. This one flash is being, all being. Everything is embraced within this one instant. Nothing is deleted. All being embodies the virtue, the wisdom of the Tathagata, Buddha. All being is endowed with Buddha virtue. Endowed, though, is not to imply that virtue and wisdom are brought in from somewhere else or somehow gotten. All being is Buddha. Buddha is awakening. With awakening, inherent Buddha nature is illuminated. All being is one being. One doing, this one doing, cittante. There is nothing outside this one doing. Everything is dedicating itself, giving its all, this one doing. Everything is given, everything is giving. The Buddha taught us this from experience. It's not something that someone or that the Buddha created, Shakyamuni Buddha created or constructed. He awakened. And his words are golden, golden speech, golden words. It would not be strange if you were to immediately, directly open your eyes. Not at all. So why don't you awaken? Because you persist in grasping habits, karmic tendencies long accumulated. These habits are the obstacles to your great awakening. The habit of looking off from truth. Habit, karmic tendency, the habit of looking off in distraction. For once, burst through that apparent solidity. Investigate thoroughly. See through. And you see that all the habits are empty, perfectly empty. There are no obstacles, no hindrances. It is just as Dogen says in his Arousing the Desire for Enlightenment. Dogen's realization is laid bare, open for us, right here in this chant. And his words come from this realization, the realization that all beings are one. I am all being. We chant, we vow, deep in our hearts, together with all being. One. May our desire and our vow be ardent, earnest. May we chant in earnest, one-minded, single-minded. It doesn't come so easy, really. Only when you've attained Satori do the words of the chant, one with all being, truly leap out to you. But I ask, who is sitting here feasting and all the while looking starved? Makakashapa was able to hear this one truth, the truth of our inherent oneness. When we hear true Dharma, Mahakashapa was able to receive the very lifeblood of Shakyamuni Buddha, the Honored One. Although Mahakashapa was older than Shakyamuni Buddha, he was able to let melt, to untie, to release all notions of self-cherishing. He was empty, and so he could perfectly receive and accept. There must be direct reception. Isn't this the case with all the universe, really? Isn't everything just simply taking it as it comes, being as it is? Direct reverberation, instant reception or immediate realization. Is there any being who can say, I am untouched? Nowhere in genuine life is there any such heartlessness, lack of compassion. Truth is never so cold as to be untouched. Yet, if we are careless, it is as though we are untouched. We fail to be immediate. We fail to directly receive. We fail to realize what is touching us. We're neglectful. We rely on cunning and our actions, right down to the way we raise and lower our hands, are non-observant, inattentive, neglectful, out of touch. So we aren't easily able, to put everything, to pour ourselves into what we do. Rather than direct, obedient response, it's as though we are once removed. Obedient. We hear that word with the attitude, well, who wants to be obedient? That sounds weak or spineless to us. Actually, there's nothing more precious than open-minded obedience. Obedience means lack of solidity, frankness, freedom from affectations, direct, prompt reply. Genuine life is utterly obedient, utterly open, pure, direct response, instant reply. Someone came to me and said, I'm a solid, hard ego rock. I could only reply, it's okay, okay. You will definitely, certainly, be able to free yourself from that fixed notion. You will become soft, pliant. That's not weak and spineless. Pliant so that wherever, whenever, no matter what, you will be completely one with whatever you encounter. When you free yourself, when you are empty, that's what happens in true emptiness. You're no longer grasping your own fixed ideas. Things no longer seem hard and brittle. Your every moment, your every movement, when you free yourself, will be different. But you must decide and re-decide. I will let go of solidity. I believe with heart and soul in original Buddha nature. It's okay. It is okay. The only reason you do not realize your inherent Buddha nature is that you're looking off. You grasp your own habits as though it's the most precious thing in the universe. So now, here, you make the decided vow, I will not get caught up, I will not be overwhelmed by self-cherishing. Even after you've made the vow, yes, you'll still want to be pulled around by your circumstances. But genuine life, to which you have vowed to be open and obedient, is reality. It is the way it is. The time will come when you will be able to bow your head before the genuine. This is for certain. And you'll exclaim for yourself, I've thrown down the distraction of self, the distraction of I, me, mine. And I'll say, have you? Then you've been able to bite into life. You'll say for yourself, out of experience, there is no wall between self and other. There is no separation between a self and other. Nowhere is there any such fixed thing as a self or an other. You're each step by step, is a step in the direction of the reality that all being is eternal. Even if you haven't yet awakened, you can come to understand the depth that is life, deep, eternal everything. Everything eternal. Yes. Life should begin steadily to radiate for you in all its pricelessness, its absolute value. No matter what you see, no matter what you hear, it comes to bring out in you the most profound gratitude. Each and everything is sacred. You'll say, I don't know why, but no matter what I see or hear, it's so dear. Before I know what I'm doing, tears of gratitude begin to fall. There's nothing strange, there's nothing unlikely about this way of being. And your deep gratitude, your ability to recognize the treasure that everything is, it's a prize that you receive for walking the path of enlightenment. This step. It's always pleasant to receive a reward, isn't it? Even just a little one. When I was a kid, I liked art. They would hang all our pictures out in the hall to be judged. I often got a little silver prize for mine. And it always made me really happy to get the prize. The prize. Don't settle for anything less than the real prize. Take the real prize. Let go. Clean and clear. Let go of the stingy, clinging disposition. Me, me. I am this. I am that. This is just me. I, me, mine. Stingy clinging for dear life to something which exists nowhere. Practice just as we have been guided by the one who has awakened thoroughly to the reality of no self. If we had not been given the opportunity, the privilege of hearing this teaching from one who is awakened, we wouldn't be here able to throw down self-clinging. Throw it down, let go, throw down, let go, until there is nothing more to release. And then the genuine, which cannot be thrown down, announces itself. I'm right here. I'm not going anywhere. Today we've heard Dogen's words. Although my past negative karma has greatly accumulated, indeed being the cause and condition of obstacles in practicing the way, may all Buddhas and ancestors who have attained the Buddha way be compassionate and free me from karmic effects, allowing me to practice the way without hindrance. May they share their compassion, which fills the boundless universe, with the virtue of their enlightenment and teachings. It sounds very greedy, covetous, but this is good greed. I want to awaken to the true self. I will, without fail, awaken to true self. This desire is the inherent and passionate desire of all being, to know the self. It is life's very working. So no matter how big is your desire to awaken, do not think that it is wrong. Please never think that it is wrong to desire realization of your inherent being. Many people write and say that Shakyamuni Buddha has awakened for us. This is enough. It's presumptuous, rude, for me to think of self-realization myself. That belief...
すいません。 向こうから。
That belief only shrinks the life of Shakyamuni Buddha. The belief that you cannot attain awakening. The notion that you cannot attain awakening is lacking in appreciation. It's refusal to repay your gratitude. The feast is so clear and simple, so direct, and so very intimate, so very kind. Do you wish to continue neglecting to dive into the feast? I don't taste anything. I don't even see a feast. How pitiful that ego clinging that you do is. How ungracious. How graceless this self-cherishing. Yes. Let go of it nobly. Make up your mind with noble urgency to let go of the stingy disposition. The stingy disposition that fails to attain awakening. Know, of course, that you can do it, and make the vow again, I will do it. Your belief becomes deeper and deeper. Your faith becomes deep. Life is eternal. Everything is eternal. Everything. Each thing arises interdependently with all being. Thanks to everything. Thanks to everything. Nothing disappears. Nothing is lost. Nothing is born. All things are essentially empty, not born, not destroyed, no going, no coming. Listen. Each and every being is of absolute value, one of a kind in the universe. Yet we lose ourselves in comparing. Winning, losing, gain, loss, more, less, this, that. Feeling loss and wanting more, wanting something different. Feeling complaints. Fear. Not caring for others, we seek to feather our own nests, to line our own pockets, even if it's at the expense of others. There was a story in the newspaper this morning about someone who entered a post office and held a knife on a woman and demanded the chief of the post office to turn over all the money. The thief was able to escape with quite a lot of money. Feeling himself to be, I'm sure, quite rich, he got off and to himself and looked into his riches. And it turned out that only the top and the bottom bills were real, and the rest, all that was in the middle, was fake. That thief became quite depressed. He went to the local police and turned himself in. Going to the police, he cried that he had made a terrible mistake. He was quite repentant. But really looking at it, aren't we all doing just the same thing? We're lost in calculating and evaluating everything, trying to get our way, to make our way, some way that we think we want to be. We spend 20, 30, 50, 60, 80 years, a lifetime, clinging to a little clod of a self. This causes us to do untold things, and this applies to every single one of us. When it's time to go, we wonder what it was all for anyway. I worked hard all my life. For what? Will you go then feeling that you have somehow been deceived? Go? Where will you go? They're waiting for you. Hell, hungry spirit, animal realm, fighting God realm, the four horrible realms in which we entrap ourselves. You'll be greeted as a welcome guest in these four realms of habitual attachment. And there is no excuse for it. If you can only purify yourself in great recognition and confession, all the evil karma ever created by me since of old, on account of my beginningless greed, hatred, and ignorance, born of my action, speech, and thought, I now confess openly and fully. Instantly, that horrible world of habitual attachment is turned around, energetically turned toward truth. I vow, together with all being, one with all being. If this is your aim, if this is really your aim, if this is really your vow, then you will, without fail, awaken to genuine self. Awakening on top of awakening. The genuine is the haven of all being. All being is in mutual support, mutual nurturance. You are not, no one is, off the path. For you, all the Buddhas and all the Bodhisattvas of the three worlds have attained enlightenment. For you, all the Buddhas and all the Bodhisattvas of the three worlds have attained enlightenment. And continued polishing that realization for your salvation. The Buddhas and Bodhisattvas of the three worlds are our great guides on the path. May they share their compassion, which fills the boundless universe, with the virtue of their enlightenment and teachings. You are never alone. Always and forever, we are protected, eternally. Always and forever, we receive their prayers, eternal prayers. Always and forever, we're encouraged, eternal inspiration. Aren't you yourself, sitting there just as you are, blessed? Your blessings are eternal. All beings are Buddha, endowed with Buddha virtue and Buddha wisdom. Aren't you guided by Buddha, protected always, always and forever? I hope that you can be obedient to things as they are and say clearly, with energy, yes, I have no further objections, no more opposition. Just this one doing. Just this one doing. Now, here. Only now, doing, here, doing, concentrated doing. your practice. Toward everything else, detachment. Together with all beings, we attain the Buddha way.